Every week on Shabbat, we welcome the Shekhinah, the female presence of God, she who dwells within. And we have to invite the Shekhinah because that feeling of her presence can come and go. If we're outside in nature, it's easy to feel the Shekhinah. If we stand next to a tree or watch a cloud float through the sky, feel a raindrop on our cheek, then we feel connected to the flow of life around us and inside us. And it's that feeling of connectedness that we seek in prayer, in meditation, in art, in dance. Sometimes if I'm really engrossed in my work in storytelling or writing, if the ideas and the words are flowing, I feel the presence of Shekhinah. I feel connected. And to feel unconnected can be the worst feeling. This year, as I was struggling to find a story for the High Holy Days, I wasn't feeling connected, but I had some help from an angel. A friend came over one day and brought me a late birthday present. It was a wooden, painted angel blowing a horn. Now, my friend said to me, look at that horn. And sure enough, it looked like a shofar. Well, it was beautiful, so I wanted to hang it in my house, but it wanted to be in my office, and it basically flew down the stairs and landed on the window above my desk. And it helped me to shape the story. It was kind of like having a personal visit from the Shekhinah. Actually, it was intense. It was kind of like Women Who Run with the Wolves meets the inner child under the guidance of Shekhinah. That Shabbat, Shabbat Shuva, the Shabbat of return, I was weeping, howling, dancing in my office. And this is the story that was born under the guidance of that shofar-blowing angel. Once there was a man and a woman who wanted a child. They prayed for a child. More than anything, they wanted a child. And eventually, they were blessed with a baby. But it wasn't exactly what they wanted. First of all, they wanted a boy, and this was a girl. And secondly, as this girl grew, it became apparent she was quite a unique and wild child. She was always running around, stamping her feet and howling, getting her face dirty, getting her clothes torn. She would race off into the woods. She was always finding stray animals, climbing trees. She was a real wilde Chaya, a wild thing. She never liked to be indoors. She wanted to be outside all the time, climbing trees, talking to animals. She hardly ever talked to people. But she had a little wooden flute. And when she was excited or passionate about something, she'd pull out the flute and blow, and the most beautiful music would come out. But she played it in all the wrong places. They couldn't take her anywhere. They could barely keep her in school. She'd jump out of her desk, race out into the woods if a butterfly flew by the window. When it was time to sit quietly, study, or read, she'd pull out her flute and blow. She was quite unacceptable. Of course, they never could take her to synagogue because she was so inappropriate. If she got excited by prayers or a song, she'd pull out her flute and disturb everyone. So they had to keep her away. But one year, on Yom Kippur, they decided maybe it was time to try again. It was time she was getting older for her to be a little more civilized. And it would be good for her to sit and listen to prayers. Yom Kippur would be good for her soul. So they brought her to the synagogue with strict instructions to sit properly and listen quietly. And she did for a while. But when the prayers became more beautiful, more lyrical, and the singing began, she couldn't contain herself, and she reached for her flute. But her father put his hand on her hand and said, "No," and he kept her from playing. But as the prayers got more intense, she got more and more excited, and she reached for her flute again, and her father pulled the flute away from her. A little while later, as things were beginning to wind up to the ascent to the gates of heaven. Towards the end of the service, she got so excited, she reached across her father's lap and she grabbed the flute from him. But then he grabbed her. He grabbed her by the wrist and he pulled her out of the synagogue. He walked her off into a clearing nearby and he said, "Wait here. You can play your flute. Just stay." And he went back into the synagogue. Well, inside, things weren't going so well. The rabbi had sort of stopped the service, and he was just pacing back and forth in front of the bima, muttering to himself. Well, the people were getting a little bit upset, because after all, it was Yom Kippur, it was nearly dusk, and they'd been praying and fasting all day, and they were tired, and they were starving. Well, one of the people went up to the rabbi and said, "Is something wrong? Why aren't we finishing the service?" And the rabbi kept muttering and said, I don't know. Something is missing. I can't go on. Something is missing." "What's missing? Why can't you go on?" And the rabbi turned and he said, "I'll have to answer you with a story. Once there was a king and a queen who had a daughter who was getting married. This was cause for great celebration in the community. And everyone in the kingdom was invited to a lavish wedding that promised a great feast with all the trimmings. Unfortunately, a few days before the wedding, the princess took ill and died. Everyone in the kingdom was in mourning, except one man who showed up on the day of the wedding, banging on the palace gates, demanding the 5-course dinner that was promised to him on the invitation." Now the rabbi turned to the congregation and he said, "Do you want me to be like that boorish man banging at the gates demanding to be admitted to the celebration even though the princess is dead? Should I stand at the gates of heaven and demand entry? How can I? How can I when the Shekhinah is in exile?" Now nobody in the congregation had any idea what the rabbi was talking about. They didn't understand the story. But the father of the girl understood. And he got up, and he walked out of the synagogue, and he found his daughter in the clearing. She was crouched under a tree, playing her flute softly. He beckoned to her, and he took her by the hand and led her back into the synagogue. When she walked in, everyone in the congregation turned. She brought her flute to her lips, and she began to play. And the music came out, sweet and slow, full of tears and sorrow and laughter. And music filled the room with the voices of the ancestors and the voices of the women, Kole Hanashim, and tears of the deepest, deepest sorrow. And the music soared and lifted all of the prayers to heaven. So this year, may all of the parts of you that are in exile be reunited with your neshama. May an angel come and blow a shofar just for you. And may all of your prayers be lifted straight up to heaven.